This morning I want to talk to you on part two of our first series of the year, Flecks of Gold, in which we look at our values as a church. Now, you might say, what's that all about? Well, most charities, most organisations these days have a set of values. If you get a job at a new place, you probably find that as part of your orientation on your first day, introduction to the company, you probably find you're presented with values, amongst other things. And we felt it was time that we had a statement of values that we could put on our website that people could connect with and understand a little bit about us. As a leadership team, we talked together and we said, well, you know, aren't the values of the church the same everywhere? And I think the truth is they're not. I mean, there are some things that are the same, but there are emphases that vary from local congregation to local congregation. And so we're going through our values over the next few weeks. We started last week with relationship. And if you want to hear that, just go to our website, archchurch.co.uk, and you can listen to that or download it at your leisure. But today, we're going to look at our second value, which is community. Community. Yeah? Right. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to analyse this like we did with relationship. We're going to look at it biblically, see where this value comes from. We're going to talk about what application it should have in our lives and what effect it should have on the church. So, my first point today is identity. Identity. Don't you think our world is a little bit strange these days in terms of identity? People have such strange identities. And I'm not talking about those people that wear spandex and dress up as Batman. I'm talking about ordinary people stress their identity in different ways. The day was when gender stereotypes were a little bit different, and we would see men maybe being the breadwinner, going out to work, coming home, putting the pay packet on the table, and women looking after the house. But life has moved on. We are in a very different society, and people no longer identify themselves as being a housewife or being in some particular type of job, although our job is often a way in which we still stress our identity. You know, people talk about, what do you do? If you're in a mixed congregation, a mixed crowd of people, one of the first people will say to you, oh, what do you do? Because we take part of our identity from what we do. But there are lots of ways. People take their identity from their health. You will notice this if you talk to some people. People say, oh, I'm an MS sufferer. And you've just met them. Or they'll say, I have cancer. Or someone might say to you, I'm a recovering alcoholic. People will identify themselves out of their health. They will identify themselves out of their politics. They will identify themselves out of their sexual preference. They will identify themselves by their class. In our house, there is much talk about being working class or being middle class. There's a lot of talk about it. In our house, we're slightly veering on the side of being a bit proud about being working class. And may God forgive us. But, you know, we do. We talk about having hobbies that define us. I mean, my Arielle would define herself as being a bit of a gamer, which means she goes online and plays computer games. And the truth is, these things help define us. I met someone the other day, and they introduced themselves as, I'm so-and-so, I reenact battles. Now, you know, seriously, they define themselves that way, and you may laugh. But it's obviously very important to them. Why is it important to them? Because it defines a community that they are part of. My wife and I went to an event at a stately home not too long ago, maybe 2 years ago. And as we drove up, we found there were all these medieval-style tents there. And there were people outside barbecuing, but not on a modern barbecue, but looking like they'd just been out and, you know, caught a deer and were cooking it or something. But this was part of their identity. As a community, these people meet together and reenact medieval scenes, and they eat like the medievals used to eat. I hope they wash their hands a bit better, but you know what I mean. And the fact is, we define ourselves very often by the community we are part of. All of these people define themselves by a community. But do we define ourselves by following Jesus? Following Jesus is something we do, and something like 6%, maybe a little bit more, maybe up to 10%, it depends who you talk to, of English people define themselves by being part of the church, that community of people that follow Jesus. This is actually quite a distinctive thing. If you go to some parts of Europe, it's actually lower than it is in the UK. But if you look at the worldwide situation, we're talking of a massive number of people who define themselves as being Christians. A number that is over 2 billion. Over 2 billion out of 7 billion world population. Two-sevenths and a bit of the world's population define themselves as being Christians. Part of the community that is church. Part of a group of people who follow Jesus. This is our identity. When Bill read to us this morning from Acts chapter 2, he talked about a situation where roughly 120 people were there at the start of Acts chapter 2, and by the end, there's 3,120. Because 3,000 people decided that day to follow Jesus. You can fill a church quite quickly, can't you? You have to bear in mind that the community was growing at an enormous rate. The only time in history that the worldwide community of the church has grown faster has actually been in the last 60 years, when the church has grown astronomically. When I was first born again in the 1960s, scary, isn't it? You can all go, ooh, if you want. The truth was, the church wasn't really growing anywhere. And in the 1970s, they were starting to talk about how the church was starting to grow in Africa in an enormous rate and in parts of Asia. And now we're talking about a situation where the church worldwide is growing substantially faster than the world population. So there are more people each day born again than there are born. Isn't that good? Doesn't that get you slightly excited? It does me. There are more people every day born again than there are born. Thank God for that. It may seem dark in this country. We may live on the dark continent. When I was growing up, we talked about Africa as being the dark continent. Now it's a continent of light. There are so many Christians in Africa. We are the dark continent. We've now got two generations of people that have never been to church. We're living now in a situation where the third generation is coming along. We live in a world in which we may, if we take an immediate look at our surroundings, be put off and think, oh God, there's only me left. That's what Elijah said. He got quite depressed about it, particularly when a woman said, I'm going to have your head today. But we need to understand that actually the church is growing well. We just need to plug into that in York, in England. And so indeed we shall. So, are you prepared this morning to define yourself by the community you are part of, the church? Are you prepared to define yourself as following Jesus? The early church in Acts chapter 2 and throughout the book of Acts, throughout the writings of Paul, we see it as well, the early church defines itself as being followers of Jesus. Historically, the church has defined itself as following Jesus. Will you define yourself that way? 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says this, "But you're not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests. You are a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people. Now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy. Now you have received God's mercy. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbours, that even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honourable behaviour and they will give honour to God when he judges the world." What a wonderful biblical explanation of why our identity is in Christ, why we follow Jesus. We have an identity as God's church. The New Testament encourages us to live knowing our identity and not living the way of those in the culture in which we were brought up in. We don't define ourselves by our sexuality. We don't define ourselves by our politics or our class. We define ourselves by who we follow. And we follow Jesus. The community of believers are not held together by a set of rules to which obedience is required. And do hear me on that. We are not held together by a set of rules, but by a sense of identity. We're a chosen people. You're chosen. You are. You are chosen. God chose you. And we are a kingdom of priests. We are a holy nation. We're God's possession. Our identity is not in what we do, or even in what we don't do. Our identity is in who we are, God's family. That's why we are community. My second point today is belonging, belonging. On the day that is traditionally looked at as the birthday of the church, in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, it says these words, "So those who accepted his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 people were added to them, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and had everything in common. So they sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had a need. And every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved." Do you see here the real sense of belonging in Acts chapter 2? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. That was a fixation in a part of their identity. It was their sense of belonging. They really, really thought it was important to listen to the apostles' teaching. It was important to meet together, to fellowship. It was really important to break bread together. It was important to pray together. Some people say, it's fine, I pray alone, that's absolutely fine. But actually, the Bible talks about corporate prayer, about us praying together. And I want to encourage you, come together with the church to pray. And it says, all the believers were together. Now, just think about this. You've got Jews, Gentiles, loads of foreigners at this time in Jerusalem. Lots of people travelled all over the known world then to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. And you have got all of a sudden a group of people who don't pull away from everyone else, but a group of people that suddenly desire to meet with each other. They suddenly want to be together. This is a group of people that say, hey, You're one of those Christians. I'm one of those Christians as well. Hey, why don't we go out for coffee? Why don't we come round? Can I come round to your house? And why don't you come round for a sandwich? And people were meeting together because they had a sense of belonging. Common values, you see. Their values were apostles' teaching, prayer, breaking bread, fellowship. Very four simple values. You know, we're going a bit wild here. We're having six. But this is about what it was important to them. And community must be important to us. Belonging together must be important to us. In a society that rejected the early church as not fitting within social norms, they made their own community. 1 Peter 2:17 says this, honour everyone, keep on loving the community of believers, fearing God and honouring the King. Doesn't mean we cut ourselves off from society. We still honour the Queen. We still honour the government. We still honour people that we meet in the street. We still fear God. But we love the community of the believers. We must, as a church, feel a sense of belonging and loving towards each other. If you have decided to follow Jesus, you belong in church. Don't be deceived by this silly 21st century idea of deconstructionism. That's the idea that two guys can meet in a pub on a Sunday over a drink and that's church. That isn't church. Church is when we come together to worship God, to seek God. We come together for fellowship. We come together to break bread. We come together to pray. We come to appreciate the apostles' teaching. These are the things that make our meeting together church. And however challenging you may find meeting with other people, and let's face it, we all have those issues, Jesus calls you to walk with him, and he is walking with others, so he's calling you to walk with those who are walking with him. And that simply means we are part of a community, the church. We belong together. We do. And we make room for each other. We provide here a safe place where you can worship and grow together, a place where we can all develop our own gifts. That is community, and that's belonging to community. My last point this morning is worldview. I like this picture. Can you see in the eyeball? They're looking at the globe. It's reflected back. There you go. We meet together because the Bible tells us to meet together. It says in Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you believe we are nearer today to the second coming of Jesus than these people were when that was written? Well, they were saying, well, you must meet together now, and as you get nearer to that day, meet together more often. So we need to meet together more often. We meet together because we have common vision and common values. We meet together because we study the apostles' teaching. We believe in fellowship, in meeting together. We believe in breaking bread, remembering the Lord's death. We believe in praying. These things help define our community and give us a Christian worldview. Can I just say to you, having a Christian worldview is really important. We should not look at things the way our culture looks at them. We should look at things with an informed view given to us by God. We should look at things in light of what the New Testament teaches us. We are told to consider various things as more important. If you love people, if you care about people, you will look at the world differently. And because we look at the world differently, we should meet together as community. This is why community is a key value to us, because we have a different world view. Our culture places no value on unwanted pregnancy or on the older people. As a church, we believe in the value of both. Our culture says get as much sex as you can with as many partners as you can, but in church, we believe we are taught to exercise self-control. In fact, we believe in words that no one can remember what they mean anymore. Chastity, virginity, commitment, covenant. We believe in the covenant of marriage. These are just a couple of examples. That we are not part of the church because we are told to do these things, but because we are part of the church, God's people, God's community, we take on a worldview that is taught to us by Scripture, and we care about what God cares about, and so we care about these things. It doesn't make any difference if you've had an abortion, if you've had a divorce. None of these things make any difference. You are welcome in this community. But as we walk with God, we begin to care about things that He cares about. And as we care about them, we recognize our worldview is changing. And as our worldview is changing, we are even more part of the church than we ever were. None of these things that I gave you examples of are part of our worldview because they are commandments, but because we've got a relationship with God and we have community with each other. These values change the way we deal with the wider community. Who believes this morning we've got good news? Yeah, we've got good news. Good news, Greek word, evangelon. Which, of course, if we share the good news, makes us all evangelists. People who share good news. Now, I don't want to be awful to you, but how often at a bus stop do you get shared good news? How often, when you're in the middle of Tesco's, does anybody share good news with you? You know, I was in a certain supermarket, which will not be named, yesterday, and I saw something that had gone down. And I noticed that everything else on this entire shelf had gone up. One thing had gone down, that drew me to the shelf, I bought it. Everything else had gone up, I chose to leave them behind. But you see, this world has a set of values that are very different to ours. And we need to understand that our Christian worldview helps us to give good news to people. The good news in that supermarket was large flat mushrooms. Were half price. But button mushrooms and chestnut mushrooms had gone up. And you know, that's not good news, is it? That's not good news. But we really have good news. You know, when people are down, when they're miserable, when they're feeling bad, when life's absolutely dealing them a bad deal, when things are awful for them, we have got good news. We can say, well, have you tried praying? Have you tried church? Have you tried Jesus? You know, it's really worked for me. We have got good news. Jesus has worked for me. He's worked for you. This is good news. And all you've got to do is share that and you're an evangelist. But we need to share good news because our worldview is different. Because we actually see the good things that God has done for us. We reach out to the wider community, both to serve it as well as to evangelize it. To salt it. Just as our value of relationship explains why we pray because we've got a relationship with God, we talk to God because we know Him, this value also explains why we share Jesus with any who will listen. We've got good news. We want to share good news. Isn't it good to share good news? Of course it is. We want to do that. A friend of mine, 2 years ago, had training by the council to become a snow warden. Now, you say, well, that's interesting, isn't it? But he saw it was an important outreach to his neighbours if he could be the first one out there with a shovel. And the council give you a shovel if you have training. Now, listen to this, really important. This is how you get a shovel. You go and get trained as a snow warden. And you know what? That year it snowed a lot. And he was out there in the morning, shoveling for his neighbours, making sure there was a path. And he knew where they all were because he'd had training. He knew where to get the salt bins. And he would be out the salt bin and he'd shovel salt on. And you know, salting his neighbours' drives made a lot of difference to his neighbours' safety. They weren't tripping, they weren't slipping, they weren't getting a fall that could hurt or injure them. They were able to move about because he was salting the earth. And you know what? If you salt the earth, if you salt this world with good news, if you salt the earth with the name of Jesus, you will really help your neighbours as well as yourself. So, we're drawing to an end. We need to talk to, we need to socialise with people who are not members of the church, not cut ourselves off from them, but connect with them, because how else will we share good news? But we are not part of their community. We are part of the church. So we don't share their values, and we choose not to live according to their darkness that we have been saved from. Our Christian worldview is something we should cherish. It makes us different, but hey, that's part of the joy of walking with Jesus, being different. Yesterday, a friend of mine was posting photos on Facebook all day long, and they all had me in them. 1973. 1975. By 1975, I was 16, and you would have thought I would have learnt what a haircut was. But I hadn't. And I remembered in this photo of me, I was wearing my jacket, which of course, by the time you're in the sixth form in those days, no need for uniform. And so I had a jacket with a very bright, loud check. And when I mean loud, I mean crazy. And my friend, he used to say, here's Redmond in his book, his runner jacket. Now I'm sharing this with you, I'm making myself vulnerable to you. I had a jacket like a bookie's runner. And I looked at this and I put it on Facebook. I said, oh yes, Peter, I remember you calling my jacket a bookie's runner jacket. And the truth is, I am glad I have, I'm glad I don't look like I did then. And you might say, well, it would have been good to be 16 again, wouldn't it? No, it wouldn't. It's good to be my age. I'm glad who I am. I'm comfortable in my own skin. And even though I had a haircut on Friday, which took about 7 seconds, the reality is I'm happy with my hairline. Even though I have a dead spider which accumulates at the front here, very crispy and has to be snapped off, I am very, very glad of my hairline. You know something? We need to be glad about our community. We need to be rejoicing in what we believe. You know, you might say, but people think I'm odd believing these things. So what? We've got good news. What we have is really good, and we should delight in it. So, over to the conclusion. Yes, it's there. Today, I want you to understand community in this light. We see our identity in the community that we call church. We belong together because we're family, and we have a common experience and a common worldview. And so this is our draft statement of community for our website. And this is what you'll see in a tweaked version, but you'll see it coming up in the days ahead. We are committed to the community of the church. We see this community as an intergenerational family, an inclusive and safe place to belong, where people are accepted, have dignity, and in which their gifts can be developed. Out of this family, we reach out to the wider community in friendship and service. Do you like those words? That's basically a summary of what I've told you this morning. You know, we believe it's important that people can belong and feel safe and be given the time and the space to develop. And that's what I believe about you. That's what I hope you believe about me. That's what we believe about church. And so today, I just want us to pray because community matters. Would you just bow your heads with me? I just want to encourage you today. If you don't feel quite part of this community, embrace it. You know, bless you, sister. Bless you. That's wonderful. Thank God. Oh, there's some heads nodding. We shouldn't be looking, should we? We're praying. But thank God. You know, God is good. And I rejoice this morning in being part of this community. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me and he loves you, and we're part of this community. I thank God this morning for the church. I thank God for what every one of you has got to contribute. And let me tell you this, there is not one of you that hasn't got something to contribute. You know, Nigel came in here this morning, he started clearing the chairs at the back. He wanted to make sure the offering box was out. He put the notice sheets on the chairs. Thank God for Nigel. I look at Nigel's ministry and I believe it is an offering to God that's acceptable. I believe it's a blessing. You've all done something today. You've all contributed. You all contribute in some way. May God help us to recognise that we are a people of relationship and we are a people of community. And as we travel together studying these values, may we all understand the goodness and love of God, and may we appreciate each other all the more as the days go on. God bless you.